just gonna bust out. It's
a rap?
Beginning
a
to look a lot like Christmas because we are moving into freaking December here.
Ding 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 ding.
I mean,
ding,
I'm
ding,
psyched.
Ding, ding. Those were my sleigh bell noises.
I loved them.
Dun, 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 dun. That's the opening to my favorite Christmas song that you argue is not a Christmas song, and I am going to fight it. Not you don't argue that it's not a Christmas song. You argue that it's not the right answer of what is your favorite Christmas song.
Yeah, yours
I had
is
to
like,
fight that last year. Christmas
isn't it
rapping.
Like escape Christmas rapping.
By the waitresses, it's rapping W-R-A-P-P-I-N-G. So it's like a play on words.
It
you
just
know.
That's really a terrible pick.
This year my mission will be to find a new favorite Christmas song.
No, you
it
you're,
broaden
you
should, my horizons.
You, I thought you were gonna say a new co-host.
God, are
someone
you
who
me?
Appreciates
Please.
Your musical tastes.
No, nah, you know what? Not even Ren appreciated that. Like he was like, yeah, I'm with Susie. Like,
yeah.
That's not the right answer.
What's Ren's favorite Christmas song? Did he mention?
I don't
have to find out.
Oh, I don't remember what he said. I can't remember. We're going to have to ask him again.
All I know is I just am so excited for Christmas this year.
Me too.
I mean, I guess
what's
we're
your
just
favorite
like,
part? What do you. What do you. You know why? Suze, it's like what I was saying with Halloween about how Halloween was like too spooky this year.
Yeah.
It was too real. So now I want like. Because what do we love about Christmas? Togetherness, coziness, warmth by the fire, which for me will just be a lot of candles.
Yes, comfort and,
like,
and joy.
Comfort and joy, yes. And so I am bringing in the comfort and joy. And I'm extra excited because I threw a Christmas in July party where I got to use all of my colorful Christmas stuff. And, you know, because I went from like a big house to like a small apartment. So before I had all the room to do multiple like Christmas themes and like, you know, the office has one theme, the living room has one, blah, blah, blah. Now, yeah, problems of muttons, I know. And then this year I did like the Christmas in July. So now I feel like they got, you know, their proper use. And now I get to stick with like a nice traditional, you know, calming, nice classic Christmas theme. I'm
yes.
very excited about this.
I'm
it's
excited.
The little things, right?
Yes, it is. I mean, we have gotten through this year and we ought to be able to, you know, celebrate safely, but, you know, with a like a grateful spirit.
Yes.
And all that jazz. I just am really into it.
Yeah, and I love every year. I don't even know if you know that I do this, but I like picking out an ornament for you guys.
I love
and I always like
ornaments.
Tie them to your presents, and so I'm always like, ooh, I think I got you a lollipop one year or something like that. But so I'm like, ooh, what ornament am I going to tie on Susie's gift this year?
I love getting ornaments because every
me
year
too.
You get them out and you're like, oh, I remember this special thing.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. I remember one I bought the year that we started Brain Candy, and it's like a piece of candy or something like that, and I have it on my tree, and it always reminds me of that.
I mean,
I really
if we're not careful, we're really going to lose our street cred with all this cheer.
What do we need? More sass? More?
I mean, we
bah
do
humbug?
Have a reputation.
I can bring that. Luckily, knock on wood, there haven't been any leaks in my ceiling recently, so we good.
Oh my God, thank heavens.
Yeah, I am a little bah humbuggy about how early we start Christmas. Like,
why?
Come on. Not like, because well, really, it's because all of when I'm like ready to start, here's the order. You take out your Christmas stuff, you set up your Christmas stuff, you go shopping for more Christmas stuff because you're like, ooh, what would I like to add to the collection? If you do that in that order and you start putting out your Christmas stuff on December 1st, you're already too late and everything at Home Goods and Michael's is sold out.
Is that true?
So you gotta for sure. All the good stuff. They're like practically putting out
stuff.
Spring, and like summer, like, you know,
come
stuff
on.
Again. It come like December. For sure. Right around like, because they're already out. The Halloween stuff was already gone. I remember I went like October 20th, maybe. No more Halloween stuff, all Christmas stuff. So that stuff's already sold out by Thanksgiving because everybody like wants to have all the stuff decorated up by
Holy
Thanksgiving.
Holy heck, I guess I didn't know. I'm behind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. You've got a good Christmas, like you've got good Christmas stuff in like you've got your manger, you've got all like.
Yeah.
What do they call that? Is that a main? What do they
the
call
nativity.
That?
The
nativity. Nativity scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yes. Maybe you're just like not on the regs shopping for Christmas stuff?
I usually do the post-Christmas like clearance dealio.
Yes.
That's
yes.
always fun because then the next year when you unpack, you're like, oh, yeah, I got all this cool
stuff. I do
love
that.
Yeah.
I do love that. Yes, that was Halloween this year.
Woo! Well, yes. I have a – I'm going to kick off with a story that has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas. I just read this story in the New York Times about this American tourist who was in Thailand at a resort, and he was crabby about a corkage fee. And so, you know, which I get.
Yep.
And he posted a negative review on TripAdvisor about the resort. And the resort decided to press charges.
Whoa.
And the tourist had to go to jail.
Whoa.
For real.
Whoa.
And he was going to face years in prison. And thankfully, TripAdvisor paid for his attorney's fees and stuff and arranged a settlement with the resort.
Oh, my God.
For real.
Okay. Don't litter and don't leave bad reviews in Thailand.
I couldn't believe it. And then in the settlement, the resort made TripAdvisor promise not to give them one of these, like, I guess there's some color badge that means that they don't recommend staying there. So they couldn't put that up. So TripAdvisor was like, okay, fine, that we'll agree to that. We won't put up the brown badge. But then they just afterwards, and after the tourists got home, they just created like an entire alert on the resort that said, like, don't stay here.
Wow.
So, but
what was,
I mean,
this place shady? Was this like a...
The picture looked beautiful. It didn't look like a dump or anything. And I just can't believe that that's allowed there. And I told Adam because he used to live in Thailand. And he was like, yeah, that sounds like Thailand.
Yeah, that in a way does kind of sound... They are kind of like... What's the word? Tyrannical? Is that kind of the one?
Well, they definitely have a lot of corruption. And
corrupt. Yeah.
Like, when Adam lived there, he went to a New Year's Eve thing at a nightclub with, and it was very similar to that thing that happened in New England where the pyrotechnics set the place ablaze. So Adam was barely made it out alive of that fire and then was visited by the people who owned the nightclub, but one of whom was the chief of police. And they basically said, if you say anything, you're dead.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can't sue them. Oh, they gave you 10,000 baht, which is like $300. They were like, here's $100. Never
I would
speak
be traumatized.
This.
That's like extra traumatizing.
Right?
It like adds another layer because it's like invalidating to your experience. And now you're like double victimized. I am so sorry for Adam.
I mean, that is really
traumatic.
I didn't
know that part.
Mm-hmm. And like he was in the hospital. He had like flesh hanging off his ears and stuff from
fire.
Oh,
what?
And they're like, yeah, don't tell anybody.
God. Okay.
But what
now.
If, I mean, because if you're an American in Thailand and you're at a very beautiful resort, you kind of trick yourself into thinking they have the same rules and expectations as the West. But then you leave a negative review and they're like, yeah, you're going to jail.
Wow. Didn't, oh my God. And then that makes you think like they're, you know, called the land of 1,000 smiles.
Right.
And,
which
I'd be smiling
are.
Too, it, which yeah. they are. It's wonderful. But it really is crazy that it's such a big, like, because my experience with Thailand is so wonderful. It is my, I always say it's my favorite place I've ever traveled. And it really is like hot or cold, like, you know.
Yeah, you can't let your guard down.
Yeah. Interesting. Because, I just heard, interesting.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yes.
Next up. So I was wound up about that. Okay, this cracked me up. There was a paleontology conference, and of course they have to do it via Zoom or one of these digital conferencing systems. And they had set it up so that they had basically censored any inappropriate language in chats and in presentations. And unfortunately, they went a little too crazy because this hypersensitive sensor, it wouldn't let, like, for instance, one of them had like a dinosaur specimen from a place called Hell Creek. So then when he put it up, it like just had like asterisk, 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 whatever, instead of the word hell. But it's hilarious because it also, it also,
unintentional censorship.
It also censored the word bone.
Oh my God.
So funny, given that paleontologists, that's pretty much all they talk about.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And like the list of other words that they censored cracked me up. So here's some of them. Pubic, stream, beaver, ball, ball, come duh. On, ball.
Singular?
Just one.
Oh,
just
for goodness
the one
sakes.
Ball.
Well, that's too much.
Stroke.
Oh my God.
Wang.
Well, you know.
Oh, there's some scientists who are not getting credit.
That's correct. It said that Wang, they had a Western bias, so Wang was banned, but Johnson was not. So just like Western.
What about Dick? What about Dick? What about Dick? What about Dick?
I'm sure Dick was.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
So like a lot of the Chinese paleontologists were censored, and like, you know, this is a lot of people. So all the Wang paleontologists did not get credit.
Okay, come on. These headlines just write themselves.
This is too funny.
Like, talk about, as you say, unintended consequences. They just did not think that one through.
That is so funny. But I love when, like, have you seen, I think it's some late night host who does, like, unnecessary censorships, and they'll bleep out, they'll add a bleep when it just looks like they're saying a word, and then it makes it seem like they're saying something even worse. So by bleeping out these things, it looks like they're saying like something worse when you put asterisks there.
I just feel like asterisks. Censorship is ridiculous anyway. I really don't like hierarchical language. I don't know. Yeah. It just makes me crazy. It's just a word.
Yeah. Who cares? But, and, like, who's getting mad? And are paleontologists really, like, such... They were trying to, like... why do they have an open chat? And are... I have so many questions. I have so many questions. First of all, is this an open chat, like, where, like, or open forum or whatever, where anybody from the public can join? So they're worried about, like, heckling and stuff like that?
I don't think so. I think it was just an academic conference.
Then why are paleontologists not on good behavior in chat? Why can't they be trusted to not...
I can't imagine this is even a big problem.
Is it a problem? No, they probably... Oh, my gosh. This is too funny. Who wrote this?
They were probably worried that, like, they'd have a Jeffrey Toobin situation.
Oh, my God. You can blur the word dick, but you can't blur the actual dick. That's
right.
A problem.
Right. That is. Stop it. Oh, God. That's funny to me. Okay.
Yeah. What? Oh my God. What if like it, cause like, what if it like recognized any phallic shaped objects and it blurred that? So here they are holding
all
up
these
the
bones.
Bone and it just looks like they're holding a giant fill in the blank. Yes. Oh my God. That's too funny.
I mean, a lot of times we try to improve our lives with technology, but things happen and then, you know, it's worse than it would have been otherwise.
Right. It draws too much attention to it. It's like the...
The Streisand effect.
Yes! I was like, is it Barbara Streisand? Or yes, it's the Streisand effect.
Okay, are you ready for Susie's favorite game, the history of... Dun, 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 the baby book.
Oh, I love a baby book!
I knew you were going to say
As the firstborn child, I love it.
Right.
Ask Lucas, he hates it.
Right, as the fifth-born child... what's a baby book?
Did you even get one?
Yeah.
I'm dying. That's so true.
Tell me what your baby book looks like.
Oh, it could not be. I still have it. It's now it's in my possession because I'm like the holder of all of our memorabilia.
Yes.
it is so full and like
my God. Like,
you can't even close it. It's got my first lock of hair in it. It's got every picture from, like, everything was documented. Like, my mom will tells anybody who listens, and even people who aren't listening, that she never put me down for the first 3 months of my life. And she means aww, never put me down. Like, she showered, like, I was, like, no, attached to her. For which, you know, this is kind of how they do it in, like, other, yeah. So she gave me all of that love and attention that you could possibly need.
Wonder what happened at 3 months. She was like, fuck this.
That's squirmy. No, that's funny. She probably was like, God, my hips are getting tired holding this thing.
Did you guys, like, co-sleep and all that?
I'm sure I did. I don't know, actually. It was kind of the age of the best. I'll have to ask
her. That's so true.
She'll be more than happy to tell me.
Yeah.
So, like, it's. I love hearing stories about that, of course, too, but she loves to tell it. So,
it is funny, though, how, you know, with your first child, it is so precious and meaningful and everything's so important. And then, by, you know, even by number two, from what I hear, people are like, you know, you get over it.
Yeah, it started to just drop off as, you know. But I look at my own, you know, many, like, journals that I've started and, like, sometimes I finish them, but not like the ones I'm worse at, the ones that are, you know, like the baby books, how they have instructions almost. They're like a guide. Like, I'm better if it's just a free form journal. So maybe it's the structure where I'm like, don't tell me what to do. But
well,
what's
that's
the history
what I found
of it?
Really interesting is what you're saying, how I didn't realize that the ones that have those instructions and, like, mile markers and developmental tips and stuff, those were by design and they were encouraged by the public health, industry. And I think it's so cool because I had no idea. I thought everyone was just commemorating their fucking babies all the time, but it really was about...
Well, look at that.
Yeah, it was meant to prevent infant mortality. And that's when its emergence, you know, coincided with changes in infant mortality and was a way to remind people of, like, medical care, track development. And I just never knew that.
I like that. Well, you know what? This is kind of like those baby apps, like the apps that track your, this is totally that version. And it's like, oh, look at how cute. You know how we've even joked about that. Like, your baby's the size of a blueberry. Your baby's like, it's adorable. And it also serves a function. Wow.
Yeah. Which I think is so cool because you take for granted that everyone knows what a properly outfitted nursery might look like. But a lot of people don't. So this is a way for them to know, here's what is best for baby, perfect diet for baby. And then, like, you know, they would even, mothers started recording their baby's accidents and their attempts to discipline them. But then it said, as the emerging field of child psychology grew and emphasized infancy as, like, a critical juncture of development, the focus changed. And, like, the mothers would record their attempts to conform to these new concepts of, like, modern motherhood. And I just love that. I love that we're still, I feel that sense now, like there's all these expectations and you just want to do your best, but, like, culture changes, guidelines change, and it can be difficult to sort of keep up with it. I also love, just as a historian myself, that we always learn that there's a lot of records about official things, you know, like somebody's baptism or when they got married, when they died, things that are rituals, but also important for, like, public works.
Yes, yes.
But we don't often have, like, we might have their baptismal gown, but we don't have, like, what they wore every day, you know, hundreds of years ago, I'm talking about.
Right.
I love that these books are proving to be a resource for historians who want to understand how it really was for mothers.
Time capsules, of the experience.
Rather than just, like, medical records or whatever. That don't give you the true sense, you know?
Yes.
So that's fun.
That's really cool. And it's when you pose it as, like, a baby book that you're doing for the baby and for you, that's fun and I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like, can you please track the
development? Yeah.
That's work. Mm-hmm. Right. Put it in adorable little book. Yeah, I love that.
I didn't know, though, that you know, people are really just sharenting, like putting everything online and not really doing baby books anymore. I didn't know that.
Oh, I would be a baby book person.
Yeah, me. I have one for Lincoln, and I thought everyone still did
that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's see. I guess we'll talk about garlic and social class.
Mm. Like that they go together?
Yeah, I read this academic article about how garlic has long been associated with lower class.
No way.
And like back
I was I would have thought the opposite.
Well, yeah, because now it's like I want all the garlic and it's at all the restaurants. It's just like garlic, garlic, garlic. But not so before. Apparently, in Italy is sort of like the U.S. in the sense that southern Italy is seen as like lower class. You know how like southern U.S. has that stigma as well?
Yeah.
And so they were more inclined to add tons of garlic to their meals. And people often associate smell with whether or not you're like high society. Like if you smell bad, then you're like dirty and a loser.
Well, yeah, but I love how garlic smells.
Oh my God, me too. Like when you, when someone's cooking with garlic, oh, my mouth
cooked
waters.
Cooked or uncooked. I even like I'll bite into a piece of garlic and just like give it a little, I don't even care.
I thought it was so interesting though, because like they were saying how Northern Italians would refer to Southern Italians as like spaghetti benders and grape stompers and then garlic eaters. It was like a slur.
That is, I'm going to have to ask my mom about this. This is the first I'm hearing of this. And like,
well, and then it bled to immigrants. So Southern Italians tended to be the ones coming to America in the early 20th century. And it, they were shamed for the way they smelled and the food, the way the food smelled. And you think about it now, have you ever lived in an apartment building with someone who cooked like Indian food or something? Or even Mexican?
Thank goodness I have not had any weird smells coming from anywhere, but I enjoy those smells. So it's like I can't even.
Well, to me, it's like white supremacy because like basically bland European food was fine, but anything that was flavorful, like Mexican, even Jewish, like pickled fish or garlic, these were seen as dirty and stinky. And so they were not totally American, and we like everything bland, I guess.
I won't say we. I won't even lump myself into that category, but Americans do.
But isn't it gross how, like, we can be racist about fucking anything?
Anything. And you know what the awful thing is food, as I've seen in a million different, you know, the food, well, Somebody Feed Phil is a very good example. Food brings us together.
Yeah.
And people are using it to drive people apart, and I don't like that.
Yeah, like they have all these recipe books from like hundreds of years ago where they would be like, if you must, you can include a quarter of one clove of garlic. But it was like seen as really sinful and terrible.
I don't understand why not seasoning your food is seen as like
high society,
class.
Right?
What the fuck is that about? Is it supposed to be like the food is the, it's such good quality that it doesn't need any seasoning? Because that, like, you know, like people who are like, oh, this, you don't even have to add anything to the whatever. It's like,
it's not even true,
it
though.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Especially not in our age of like genetically modified food where my tomatoes taste like chalk.
I know. That makes me really sad. Do you think so if you, let's say you use a seed from a tomato like that, but you plant it in really rich, nutrient-dense soil, will it taste better or is it just doomed?
I think it might taste better.
Okay, I'm hopeful then.
Because I think that the nutrient, I mean, it comes, because I know that you can, with adding different fertilizers and like different, like natural fertilizers, even I was just reading this other day, like ground up worms, stuff like that, you can get like a more flavorful or like fruit with a darker color. You just have to, you know, takes work and time and energy, I think, and sunlight and all that good stuff.
So I was worried
growing anything that you eat. I can grow plants like no problem, like in the house and you know, flowers, plants, all that. But I have a problem with food, with ones that are edible.
You'll get there. There's still time.
I'll get there. I need actual land, I think, will be helpful. It's hard to do it in a...
Sarah, I know you weren't meaning to be funny, but that's really funny.
Yeah. I need land. I need more than just a plant
or box. Because it is an ambitious idea to grow vegetables when you have like a balcony only.
A balcony. Yeah. I got basil and I got thyme and I got some rosemary and that's about it.
That's enough. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be hard on yourself.
So supportive.
Okay. A quick one. Let's see.
But now I have more questions about garlic. Garlic like... Because then I thought about how fast it does grow. And maybe is it one of those like kind of like potatoes where it's seen as – because I kind of think of that as you know, the Irish and, oh, the potato eater kind of thing.
True.
And it's just a very cheap, you know, fast-growing
root. Well, this is sort of what I don't – they didn't say in the article and I didn't know was like what – is it – it's the chicken and the egg thing where is it like we hate that person so then we hate what they eat – or we don't like the smell, so then we hate the person. I don't know which way it goes.
Right, I don't either.
But it's probably the former, where it's like, I hate you, so then I hate the food you
eat. Yeah, because I do see what you're saying. If I can imagine somebody having a neighbor that would cook any kind of ethnic food, and people being like, oh, that smells like blah, 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 you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, stop being a-holes. That's what I say to those people.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay. Would you like, even though spooky season is over, we do like to pepper these stories in. Would you like to know more about the Ouija board?
Always. No, but I should. And I want like an old vintage. If they come out with like a throwback looking one, I'll be totally on that.
Do they have, they've modernized them so they look like.
Like I want the box to look like. Ooh. I don't want it to be like from Milton Bradley all over it, you know.
Right. It really cuts down on the spook factor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, first of all, do you believe in Ouija boards? Is what I want to know.
I believe in people's
psychic energy,
but I don't believe in, I think that Ouija boards put you in a state of mind to maybe be more open to anything else that, but I don't think like ghosts are going to be moving your Ouija board thing, but I'm into it.
You know, people have all these spooky stories though about Ouija boards where they like throw them away and then they come back. What's that about?
What?
I've been hearing this since like the satanic panic of my childhood in the 80s when they would be like, if you try to throw away your Ouija board, it'll end up back in your house the next day.
Oh my God. Oh, well, I saved this article. I haven't read it yet, but it's the answer to, it's somebody explains like cursed objects. So I can't wait to read that. And then
that's interesting.
So we'll put a pin in that and come back. to that maybe next time.
Okay. Well, so somebody made the board, but then it's sort of like all these old timey things where like whoever makes it never gets the credit. It's always like the opportunistic entrepreneur who's like, that sounds great. I'll steal that patent. And then they like file the patent and then they get all the credit. But one of the makers, this is creepy, died after falling off of a roof of a building that the board had told him to build.
What?
So, like, one of the people that created the Ouija board had been told by the board to build some building.
Okay, but see, there's where the story falls apart. Because, like, if we talk about, the individual's influence on it. So, the board... The man got the validation that he needed from asking a board a question that he probably already had the answer.
Confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias there. And then there was, I mean, that's fucking, I love the story.
I do too.
What happened to me? I'm so cynical.
No, I love it. It's a nice balance.
Oh, I used to, I would have been like, well, I still believe that my grandma moved that picture, so. Again, there's balance.
Somebody wrote to us and said, listen, had Sarah already told that story or did I have a psychic premonition that that happened to her? And I'm like, I think that was a repeated story.
Yeah, probably. I don't have many ghost experiences, so that one comes out every Halloween.
Well, it is spooky. Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. The article described how it grew in popularity during the Great Depression, and it reminded me of how we are right now. So everyone is stressed. Everyone is upset. And what happens when that happens? Conspiracy theories run amok. And people start concocting all this stuff that makes sense of what they perceive as madness. So as you can probably imagine, now that we've been through the pandemic, what the Great Depression was sort of like. I mean, it was way worse.
Right. Yeah.
And so people are seeking solace and refuge in things that maybe are dubious and not.
I wonder if there's also elements of looking for like
answers.
But yes. But then also I think about what you said with the psychics and how we're not seeing psychics be anymore. Like, ooh, what's going to happen with... You know what? Because it's comfort about other stuff.
Yes.
Okay. I totally get this. Ooh, Suze, good history of...
Before we started recording, Sarah and I were talking about how she was describing during times of distress on, like, this huge scale like we're dealing with now culturally and medically, a lot of your defenses are broken down. And so then you're just this shell that's super vulnerable. And what you're upset about is usually like your love life or your kids or something.
Yes.
But really it's because all the other layers are in question at the same time.
Yes.
You were right about that.
You've got to zoom out and look at. Yeah.
And then,
whenever I get in that hole and I'm always like, oh, everything is the worst. Ren will be like, Sarah, you got to zoom out. And I'm like, God, don't use my own therapy advice against me.
Yeah.
And then I think about it. I'm like, fuck, I'm right.
You are right, but it is so hard.
I am right. I know it's so hard when you're in that moment. It's so hard. That's why I say to myself, to my clients, everybody, you got to create the a la carte menu of self-care and like literally have it like written out and in front of you and easy to use. Like if there's anything, like for me, gardening is my self-care. But if I don't have the tools, the dirt, the everything, so I have to like set myself up to have all that like prepped. And then if I feel like, oh, I can't, I need some self-care, then it's already there. Because the idea of like in the moment you need it, having to then think of, oh, what do I do? It's too overwhelming. You can't do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So just have it
so
ready.
Have whatever it is you want. Our bath's lovely. We'll have like the stuff to get yourself ready for a bath, or have a plan of like time of like, okay, hubby, time for you to watch the kids. Like,
it's
taking a bath. Like, it's bath time. Like, set yourself up for success so that when those moments come, you can be like, okay, I need to use that.
I agree. instead, rather than using a Ouija board. But you can do that too if you think that's super fun.
If you're like, oh, I got to go to my Ouija board, and that's like your time to chill and meditate or whatever the heck
that is,
then do that. But make sure you have the Ouija board ready to go. You're not going to be like able to come up with new ideas in the moment. Is what I'm getting at. So yeah, whatever brings you peace, and I get it. I totally get that. Don't we see like a? It's almost. I'd wonder if people are getting more religious now.
Definitely. Or
I think that
not,
is.
Like, not religious like going to church, but what we're seeing a lot of is people moving towards New Age stuff and astrology, especially millennials. There's been a big push. They basically, people in the millennial range usually grew up with a religious tradition, but then they abandoned it as adults, but they still have that urge. And so they've replaced it with things like astrology, crystals. We're seeing a lot of that New Agey stuff becoming popular as well.
Love when Susie drops the knowledge.
Anyway.
Yes, tell me all about that.
You actually reminded me of this thing I wanted to talk about because you were saying, what were you saying? Well, about taking a bath and like,
oh, yes, yes, yes.
Whatever.
Yes, yes.
For women and like have your husband watch the kids, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So one of my favorite authors, Anne Helen Peterson, who I've chosen for book club twice, she has a newsletter that I highly recommend. It's free. You can sign up and you get one, two a week. Anyway, she did one this week. And the title was Other Countries Have Social Safety Nets. The U.S. Has Women. And it was
Other countries have social
safety nets. The U.S. has women. So basically, the system is designed to rely entirely on women to make up for things that should come just from paying your taxes and having social programs.
Preschool, early childhood.
Maternity.
After school care, maternity leave.
So she interviewed these scholars who were studying this phenomenon. And it, I just felt like it was so important to talk about on the show because our listeners are women, of course, mostly. And you can really.
And super woke dudes. Shout out to you guys.
Super woke dudes. And who will want to know this too.
Yeah.
That a lot of times we, as women and especially other marginalized groups as well, like, you just think the system is fair and then you have to work around it and work within it. And so we're not taught to see the forces that operate beyond our control, like capitalism, patriarchy, white supremacy. And like instead, we, these groups, are taught to like self-help book our way out of structural problems and how it's all bullshit.
Ew, yes.
Right? Like, great. Self-help books, fine if you enjoy them. But like they are not.
Ouija boards, fine if you enjoy them.
Yeah, but they're not a replacement for a fair and just society. And like all, I think it's on her mind because during the pandemic, we're seeing in the data how women are leaving the workforce because they have to take care of their kids because their kids are home, need schooling and all that stuff. And so, again, women are becoming more reliant on their husbands to earn the money, which is a problem because that gives men an outsized domination in the home. And, like, also there's all these intensive work and intensive parenting norms. Like, think about the pressure on moms to be, like, perfect.
Yeah.
And they are powerful because they serve the interest of powerful actors in our society, including corporations and white men.
Jeez.
And so I just wanted like to shout out to our listeners and be like, just so you know, this is what's going on. And if you feel like you're sacrificing your career and your life, that part of it is by design and the system wants that.
Oh,
that sucks.
That's really sucks. What do we, I mean, but then like, okay, what do we do when we're aware of it?
I mean, basically vote to elect people who support social structures that have, you know, maternity leave, paternity leave, preschool, daycare, Medicare. Like,
yes.
Like, it's just all fucked.
Oh, my God. It is.
So
preach, Susie.
I'm just saying, like, if we want structural change, then we have to vote. And it's like a reminder, too, of, like, don't just think about the presidential elections, which are very exciting and, like, oh, that's what right. we get into. It's at your local level even.
Yeah.
You know, so just trying to be civic-minded in that way.
I mean, it's – I even feel like it goes down to who's in the PTA. I mean, come on. It's like, for real, which things get pushed forward, what may – I don't know. It's all the little stuff.
Just be aware. Just,
it's like, yeah, be aware.
But it's a bummer. But I like to just, like, rally the troops occasionally.
But that's a good thing to keep in mind that – and yeah, all of that is falling on women's shoulders. And now with the kids being at home and with school, it's too much.
Well, because remember I did that poll on my Instagram, like, do you know any man who's taking the primary role as the educator in the house during virtual learning? And I think that it ended up being about 80-20. 80% said women were doing it. That's not ideal.
Right. That's not ideal. Oh,
anyway,
goodness.
Speaking of like weird women stuff, I'm sure you've kind of tapped into this either like indirectly or explicitly, but you know, these like weird Facebook kind of like scams where people pretend like they have cancer or something and then they act like
I've heard,
and then they like raise money through GoFundMe and stuff.
Oh gosh. It's like the modern, Rose. What's her
yes.
name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gypsy Rose.
Gypsy Rose.
And in fact, a scholar called it Munchausen by Internet.
Oh my God. That's exactly it.
And
wow.
It's so, the weird thing for me was I read this article about it and it said 95% of these scams are done by women.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Wait, why is that obvious to you?
Because it's the same way 95% of Munchausen's is women.
Yeah, but
I don't
know
if that's the actual thing.
But it's consistent with this.
Consistent, yeah.
Okay, why do you think?
Oh, man, I don't know enough about that to speak on it. But I kind of feel like it's your chicken or the egg thing. Mm-hmm. Is the way society's structured bring out those kind of...
Like that's the strategy given our resources.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a strategy because we see a lot of things. And then I think about, you know, mass shootings and what that or like the serial killers and what that.
I think you hit the nail on the head because in this article it said, this scholar said, when men act out, they end up in prison. When women act out, they end up in doctor's offices.
Whoa.
Isn't that weird?
Whoa.
Your reactions.
Oh,
that was really compelling to me.
That is because it is mental illness in geez.
So
often women act out even though they're often in some way the victim.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's how their identity
presenting
is.
They're presenting themselves as like needing rather than, well, so are the men in a way, but they're interesting.
I don't think the men identify as victims though.
No,
they're like,
they don't.
Cause they're angry and we don't usually associate that with poor me.
Right.
But when women do it, it's so, I mean, we all know these women too.
Yeah.
Maybe not the ones that have the GoFundMes and the cancer scams, but like the woe is me, like everything's terrible. Eeyore, you know.
Oh my God, that was always my favorite character. Sometimes I just because the last few years have been so tumultuous, I mean, like up and down, I always am like, am I that person? I hope I have to pepper in some positive things.
You're Tigger, like, if there ever was one.
Okay, good. Whew.
But it was saying basically that women tend to act out in more socially sanctioned ways, but they're unsavory all the same. And that they're really not even in it for the money, that they are in it for the care and concern that they mobilize.
100%.
Isn't that bonkers?
That is the Munchausen. That's the also, what is it called? fictitious illness. Now they call Munchausen's, it's fictitious illness, right, imposed on self or imposed on another, or mm-hmm, on self or on another. I have the DSM right in front of me. I could even look that shit up.
They did say, as just sort of a help, in, you know, when you're seeing some of these on Facebook or something, that it's very hard to tell if it's fake because each situation is unique. But one red flag is that if it's like, if you're truly sick with cancer or something, you have a lot of days that are just sort of boring and you're just binge watching Netflix and resting. But in these GoFundMes, it tends to be very high drama all the time. Like, it's urgent all the time and nothing's working and they need it immediately. And any kind of like constant drama, they said, is a good red flag for those scams.
Wow. Jeez. And
I mean, I can't relate.
I can't relate either. Because I wouldn't want... I don't want... I, like, want the opposite of the pity. I want people to be like, nah, look at, she's surviving it. Look at it.
Right. That's my big thing. That's the last thing I want is people to think I need help. Even when I do.
Right.
Okay, moving on. Oh, my final story for the day. Someone listed, I think Brainiac sent this to me. I can't remember the name, but someone listed a coffin with a real human skeleton on like Facebook Marketplace for $100. And I just think it's number one, hilarious. And the coffin.
Way too cheap.
I know. I thought that's a real bargain.
Wait, you didn't even want to auction this thing off? We got a bunch of weirdos out there who are like.
So apparently this
guy. At least to the cannibal corpse guy.
Right. That could have gotten a good price. Well, evidently this guy was a member of something similar to like the Masons or like Elk Lodge or whatever. And they had this ritual where new recruits would have to sort of, I don't know, look at this coffin skeleton guy and recognize their own morality and mortality. And the message was supposed to be unless you're helping someone, you're dead. I don't know how that is necessary to have a skeleton to accomplish that. But they were like liquidating. And so he's like, I talked to my friend works at a funeral home, and he felt like it would be okay to sell it because the coffin had a window in it. You know, like one of those creepy dictator ones?
Yeah.
So you could see like the head and the torso. And he said, but the skeleton was like nailed down. So this was clearly meant for display or most likely was donated for science. So they were arguing it's not unethical to sell it because they don't need to be buried because they never had that intention. But what do you think? Do you think that's unethical that they should just have buried it?
Well, I think if it in the state of California, it is illegal to buy and sell. I know this
human
because
body
I tried
parts.
To,
and no, stuff,
how
right?
about animal body parts? I can't buy. I tried to get a skull, like a nice antler set, like you know, for my house, and because I used to do a bunch of art projects with that, I went to my regular skull guy that I went to for like 5 years, and yeah, I had a skull guy.
Stop.
He told me in the state of California, he can't sell them anymore.
Wait.
So you can't sell that because they're trying to discourage hunting.
Sarah.
All of this is true.
What do you mean you're a regular skull guy?
I used to use a lot of like antlers and stuff like that. And I would do these Etsy art projects where I would take a deer skull and I'd put like succulents and flowers and stuff like that on the top and like mount them. And I sold them online. I made a pretty penny doing that. And they're really beautiful. They look super cool. And so I had to get the pieces somewhere.
Isn't he a taxidermist though or something? Like what's his actual?
Nah, he was like a dealer. And then everybody knew him as that. I was like, hey, where's the skull guy? Oh yeah, he's over on aisle three.
No.
Yeah. Where's the animal skulls guy?
Okay, so
for real, anybody
like
who shopped at Suze, he was at the Long Beach. He was at the flea market we went to.
I remember.
We did this together.
I do. I just didn't know you called him your skull guy.
Well, I mean, what else am I going to call him? I didn't know his real name. Steve.
Well, like, I would assume he's some sort of. They have to have a real name.
Usually people do.
No. I mean like a title.
Yeah, I don't know what his title is. He was dealer of antiquities.
And oddities.
Oddities and antiquities.
So
yes.
He had to go out of business because it was illegal? It was like drug
trafficking?
He
didn't go out of business. He just sold other stuff. Like, I think there were different, like, you can't do the antlers and the skull. There was like something about.
That's so weird because in Pittsburgh, they're trying to encourage hunting because we have like a deer overpopulation.
Well, if you have any skulls, send them my way.
I'm sure there's a lot of skull guys out here. Oh my God.
A lot of skull guys. Oh, I'm going to have to, what is it? What do you call it when you take it across state lines and you smuggle? I'm going to have to smuggle it across state lines. My brain like disappeared.
Yeah, you get me pot, I'll get you skulls.
Oh, that's a good trade.
Okay, now we need to wind it down.
Winding it down.
Christmas spirit.
Man, we talked about a lot today, Suze.
I know.
Talked about the history of baby books. Mm-hmm. We learned Susie doesn't even have one.
My sister filled it out. My older sister filled it
that's
out.
That's really cute.
She's 10 years older than me, so I guess like that's allowed. But we learned that you should probably not review a Thailand resort unless you're back home safe and sound.
Right, or you might end up in jail.
And if you go to a paleontologist conference, you might...
And your name is Dick? Don't even bother commenting.
Just zip it.
Change your name for this conference.
We learned that garlic means you might be low brow.
But I still have questions on that.
Yeah,
not at all. I reject that. Rejected.
Rejected. And we learned that the Ouija board is spooky, but probably not really.
Yeah. And also, if it brings you comfort, what ifs?
And of course, watch out for Munchausen by internet scams.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And ladies, stop doing that.
Stop. If you need attention, just dress like Miss Frizzle, like that lady last
time.
There
you go.
She got plenty of attention.
Yeah, do that. There you go. I like that. Good advice.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and subscribe, please.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time.
And we love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying this podcast, try giving my podcast, Miraculous Mamas, a listen. Miraculous Mamas is a safe and inclusive place for you to find a huge amount of educational and relatable information about childbirth and parenting with absolutely everything in between. Each week, we discuss important topics, share great resources, hear from experts, and listen to birth stories. All in an effort to bring you reassuring and informative experiences so that you know that you are not alone. That's all on Miraculous Mamas podcast. Look for the podcast link in the show notes or simply search for Miraculous Mamas on your podcast app.